Book of Genesis, chapter 37. Have a difficult message to preach this morning. We plead for your attention. If you would stand with us this morning, we'll read a few verses. Verse 23, it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph of his coat, his coat of many colors that was on him. They took him, cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Skip down to verse 31. We realize that the brothers have taken Joseph and sold him. Verse 31, they took Joseph's coat, killed a kid of the goats, dipped the coat in blood. They sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." Now, we realize those brothers were telling their daddy a lie, and their daddy believes that Joseph has been killed by an evil beast. Yeah, sin. Basically, Joseph's been sold into bondage in Egypt. Look at verse 34. Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Lord, we thank you for the reading of the Word of God. I pray now you'd help us by your Holy Spirit to stand this morning and preach with power. We ask God you'd help us this morning, Father, that we would just be able to be inspired by you and none other. For we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. You understand that Jacob has put a sackcloth upon him. Now, sackcloth is a coarse fabric, and it's woven out of flax, and it's very dark in color. And if a person put sackcloth upon them, it would demonstrate that they were in grief, they were in sorrow, they were in extreme suffering, maybe they were fasting, maybe they were in humiliation or in subjection, or maybe it would even be put on to signify repentance. Nonetheless, that is what sackcloth is. We see here Joseph's brothers have betrayed him, and they weave a very intricate lie and sell that to their father Jacob. He hears this bad news about his son's demise, and he rent his clothes and he put sackcloth upon him. Now, I want to preach this thought. There is treasure in the sackcloth. There is treasure in the sackcloth. And we want to study that just for a little bit. Now, again, I had these guys bring up to me something that comes out of the Awana program. This is basically burlap type sack. It's not really what sackcloth is. Sackcloth is a lot darker than this. Yet it's woven very similarly, yet it's more closer and finer together, so you really couldn't see through it. What got me thinking about this was last Sunday night, I believe it was telling you about a lady that left the little country church, got told her, "I want you to go join the First Baptist Church." And she said, "Lord, I don't have any friends there. That's a real snooty, snobby crowd, that real rich crowd that goes there. And Lord, I don't have anything. Just an old toe sack dress is all I've got to wear, a piece of burlap, basically." And God said, "I want you to go there." And when she got there, nobody welcomed her. Nobody shook her hand. Nobody paid any attention to her. She left. She said, "Okay, I went. Now I'll go back to the country church." God said, "No, I want you to stay at this church right here. I've got a work to do in your life and in their lives, and I'm sending you to join this church." She didn't understand it. She stayed there the second week. She went to the altar. She surrendered to what God told her to do. She didn't understand why. She went to the pastor. Nobody had welcomed her. She said, "I want to do something. I want to put flowers around the sign." And he said, "You can put flowers in front of the church." And so she took on that job. And when she got to digging in that bed of weeds that was out there, people got mad at her because their grandma had planted them flowers about 10 years before, and they let them grow up with all kind of weeds and hadn't weeded it in 10 years. But when she started digging, they got mad at her. Say amen, it's okay. Amen. You know how it is. They got mad at her when she started out there weeding and pulling and planting new flowers. But little by little, in her dedication and hard work out there, people began to see that she really loved the church and loved the things of God. And they began to overlook her for wearing burlap type dresses and toe sack dresses, what I call them. And they began to befriend her and they began to love her. She began to love them. And then there began to be a love growing in the church, one for another. And when new folks started coming, they started welcoming them. And they got over their old snooty, high-browed ways. Say amen. We ought not to be grading and cutting on people. We're supposed to be able to go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in.
Amen.
Amen. Don't matter how they're dressed, what they look like, you keep your mouth off of them. You let Jesus speak to them. Amen.
Amen.
And so basically that's what that lady, this message began to work on me out of the story that I'd share with you last Sunday night. That was the story. Now, we understand what's happened here. Sackcloth is different from this a little bit. But we're going to kind of weave it the same. Now watch this. Joseph gets sold down there into slavery. He, after years and years, gets elevated to be governor over all of Egypt. And point number one, there is a famine that comes sore in the land. Go with me to chapter number 41, verse number 56. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. Remember, God had showed Joseph to take all the corn for those years and store it in these big storehouses. When the 7 years of famine come, they'd have plenty. Joseph, being wise and obedient to God, he did just that. And now all countries are coming into Egypt because they're affected by this famine. And they're seeking out the governor to buy corn. Now when Jacob, chapter 42, saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do you look one upon another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." Joseph's brothers are told, "There's a famine. Get down to Egypt and buy corn and bring it back." So the boys, forgetting years before what had happened to their brother, and being driven by a famine, a dry, thirsty place in their life, they head to Egypt for corn. Let me tell you what a famine will do for you. It'll turn you towards the corn. I'm telling you what, thank God for the man of God that preached to me when I was dry, when I was needing to be fed with the good old corn, amen, and need to have something good to drink. The man of God got up and he spake but preached the word of God to me and fed my hungry soul. And I thank God for a preacher today that'll still shell the corn to his people, whether they like it or whether they don't. Praise God for the man of God that'll do that. And so now, being driven by a famine, they go out looking for some shelled corn, amen, for them to get a hold of. And they get down there into Egypt. They come into that place. And here Joseph sees them. Joseph knows them, but they know not Joseph. He looks strange to them. Go all the way down with me down here into verse number 21. Here in this famine now, Joseph sees his brothers and he accuses them of being spies. And they said, "We're not spies. We've just come to buy corn." He's got a little motivation here. And he said, "I believe you're spies. And the only way I'm going to know you're not spies is if you leave one of you here and you go get the brother that you didn't bring and bring him down here to me that you told me about and show me that you're really truthful in your actions." Verse 21, they said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother." You see that? They remembered what they did years before to Joseph. There's something about the famine that'll drive you towards the corn, and there's something about the famine that'll bring your past sins to remembrance. You may know why the famine come to your life. It may be because there's unconfessed sin there. You thought, "Well, that happened years ago, and I've got away with it." Them boys didn't get away with nothing. Immediately they knew, "We're verily guilty concerning our brother." In that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, Do not sin against the child, you would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph had understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. He understood every word they said, and he knew they were talking about him. And he turned himself about from them and wept. I'm telling you what, he is glad to see them. Even though they had betrayed him, he loved them. That's his brothers. Amen. And he wept. And returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simeon. Boy, he was one of the leaders of the pack when they sold him out. Took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. So understand, they take Simeon here and they've got him bound. Do you understand there's a famine in the land? God said in the last days there'd be a famine, not necessarily of physicality, of physical type properties, but a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. Amen? We're facing one of them famines today. Well, there's preachers everywhere, you say. I didn't say it'd be a famine for preaching. A famine for hearing. Hey, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has a saying to the churches. Amen. Now, I want you to watch this. Point number two. In the famine, they were filled. Watch verse 25. Filled. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way, and thus did he unto them. Now, he's bound Simeon and kept him behind. But he told those Egyptians, I want you to go get the sacks they brought to get the corn, and I want you to fill their sacks up, and then the money that they pay you with, I want you to take money and put right back into the mouth of the sack there, and I want you to bind it and tie it up, and I want you to do one more thing. I want you to give them provisions for the journey. Now them boys, they got their donkeys and got the sacks that they had brought with them, those burlap sacks. Same ones that'd be used to put on sackcloth for mourning and grief. And now it's filled with provisions. And so they throw them across their beast and they begin to ride back there. And on the way, look down here in verse 35. It came to pass as they emptied their sacks that behold, see, they didn't know. They thought they just had corn in there. They didn't know that there was money in there and provision for the journey. When they got, look here, it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. There was a treasure in their sack. And they didn't even know it till they got home. And instead of being blessed and saying glory to God, they got afraid. Now, ain't it just like the governor of Egypt down there, Joseph, to give them corn and they didn't even have to pay for it? How is that like our Heavenly Father, like Jesus Christ, to take you in a time of mourning, in a time of sorrow, and to take your sad sack, amen, and fill it up with corn to feed you and bless you with all the provisions you need and put the money back in the sack? He's never charged you nothing for salvation. He's never charged you nothing for the Holy Spirit. Nothing for His counsel. Nothing for His wisdom. Nothing has He ever charged you for any of the blessings He's ever give you. And yet you run around here afraid to serve Him and afraid to praise Him. Boy, that's wrong. Didn't He say in Isaiah 55 verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye and buy wine and milk without price. Who can buy things without price? I'm telling you what Jesus said. You can buy things of me and I'll give it to you and won't charge you a thing. I'll just fill up your sack with treasure. Some of you been going through a hard place. Times of suffering, times of sorrow, times of fretting and great worry. And I'm going to tell you what, if God would just open your eyes to see it as how He sees it, amen, and look inside the sack, and see how God's blessed you, amen. Boy, He's blessed you more than you think He has. You've got complaints and you've got worries, but I'm telling you what, He's still been good to us. Amen. Let's read on. We don't only see them filled. But I want you to see verse number, or chapter number 43, We're going to see one getting freed. Oh, Simeon, remember he was bound. Let's watch him down here in chapter 43, verse number 20. They get their brother Benjamin, and they head back down there because the famine's still on. And all that corn that they took home with them, they ate it all. Simeon's still in prison. And the brothers eat all that corn, and their stomachs begin to growl. Kind of like yours does at 10 to 12. And begin to say, boy, we'll go eat. And they begin to look around and say, well, we got to go back down there to Egypt and buy more corn. No, can't do that. That man, look, we found all this treasure in our sack. He's going to think we stole it. He's going to be looking out for us. We got to go back, what I'm saying. Simeon's down there. We got to get him out. Yeah, but if we go, we got to take Benjamin. And boy, his brother Joseph's gone. We don't know what's happened to him. And if something happens to Benjamin, our daddy will kill us. But boys, we're going to die anyway. We're going to starve to death. Hey, daddy, will you let Benjamin go with us? No, I won't. Please, daddy. They got Simeon down there. We're starving to death. You can kill my own boys. Just let Benjamin go with me. All right, fine. He lets Benjamin go. They come back down there in the land of Egypt to buy more corn. In verse 20, they said to the steward, oh, sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food. And it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we've brought it again in our hand. In other words, we brought that money back to you. We didn't steal from you. We're going to give it back to you. Watch this. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. Ain't it amazing? You'll give your tithe to God and somehow you'll have more left over at the end of the week than you would have had to start with. How? We cannot tell how that happens. But I can tell you who does it. So we can't tell who. I can tell them who. And he said, peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. What's this? He said, I had your money. Wait a minute now, preacher. I didn't understand that. Well, the steward did have the money. But Joseph gave them grace money, amen. He took out of his own pocket and refunded their money back. And sent them. The steward said, I can't tell you, God's done it. Well, you may say, God didn't do it, Joseph did it. God's working through Joseph. God works through people, amen. I'm telling you what here. God has given you treasure in your sacks. Hey, it ain't anybody. It's God's been blessing you, friend. Don't you lose sight of that this morning. Now, they come down here and they're going to, watch verse number 31. Speaking about old Joseph, he washed his face. He'd been crying again when he saw Benjamin. He washed his face. He went out and he refrained himself and he said, set on bread. And he set them down from the oldest to the youngest. And they all had fellowship together at the meal table there. They ate bread. Ain't it amazing? Here I'm going to tell you. Ain't it amazing that in a famine, in a dry place, in the valley you've been going through, it'll drive you towards the corn. Amen. It'll bring your past sins back to remembrance, won't it? But watch this. It'll cause you to eat bread from another country. Hey, God rains down bread for His people to feed you and I, amen. Hallelujah to God for the nourishment He sends our way. So they sat down there and they begin to eat bread from another country. And old Simeon now, they have set him free. Watch this, point number 4. I want you to see food in chapter 44. And he commanded the steward of his house saying, now they're on their way back home, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. In other words, he's going to do it again. You may say to me today, preacher, God's took care of me before, but this is a new day. Will he do it again? Hey, our God can fill your sack with treasure again. Amen. Hallelujah to God. He says, you give them food, money back in their sacks, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money, And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. Here's what he said. He said, you go a little step further. You put my silver cup in old Benjamin's sack. The boys set out. They don't know what they got again. Putting it on their donkeys. They're leaving Egypt. They got their sacks full there again, full of corn. They didn't even think to look and check about the money. And all of a sudden, they hear donkeys and things running towards them, horses and chariots. And they look back, and the Egyptian has come up behind them and said, hey, somebody has taken Joseph the governor's silver cup. And they said, well, we didn't take it. Remember, we got home and had our money the first time, but we brought it back to you again. Surely the Lord, you'd trust us. We wouldn't steal your governor's cup. There ain't no way we'd do such a thing. Now, there's no way. What's this? Found down here in verse number 10. He said, now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and you shall be blameless. In other words, we find this cup in your sack, you're going to become a slave the rest of your life. Well, them boys wasn't worried. They didn't think they'd done nothing wrong. Boy, it's amazing how we're all righteous in our own eyes. I ain't got no problems. I'm a good boy. Listen, I sin every day. And the heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? There's stuff in there that I don't even know about. What's this? Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Can you imagine? I bet they went, how'd that get in there? Oh, man, we're in big trouble now. And they take Benjamin and they escort him back towards Egypt. Going to be a slave the rest of his life. And them other brothers, 10 of them left, standing there. Discussion among themselves. What should we do? Should we run? I mean, this is the same thing they'd done to Joseph, right? They sold him into slavery and into bondage to Egypt and didn't care a thing about him. Now here goes Benjamin, same thing. What are they going to do? Oh, but there's been a heart change in their life. They said, we can't do wrong by our brother again. We've learned our lesson. God's been good to us. And they begin to follow him. And they get back down there in the governor's mansion. And they begin to plead, oh, sir, please have mercy on us. Don't take Benjamin. Don't take our brother. And old Joseph, he realizes these are the boys that sold him. And now he's testing them to see if they'd sell Benjamin out. And they won't. They're begging and pleading for mercy there. Watch this down here in chapter number 45, verse number 1. We've seen that they found the cup. They're getting ready to find a brother. Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. There stood no man with him. While Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. God had a purpose in allowing this situation to happen in their lives. Yeah, they can complain about it. Yeah, they can get to pooch that. Yes, Joseph could get down about it. But he sees the purpose in his life. Now I want you to think about something. Because of this famine, they ate bread from another country. Because of this famine, Joseph has revealed himself to them. You realize it? Joseph is a type of Christ, and in the famine, and you begin to get down on your knees and begin to get troubled and start praying and seeking God's face, that's when he draws the closest to you, seems like. Right. It's when you draw nigh unto him, he draws nigh unto you. Right. Boy, I'm glad for the famine, ain't you? Hallelujah for this. And watch, now he begins to ask about his daddy. And he sends back home to get his daddy and bring him back down to Egypt. Verse 27, they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. My Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Here this man is. He'd been wearing sackcloth in mourning over Joseph for many days. For years he's been troubled about it. Benjamin getting ready to go back down there with his brothers to Egypt. He didn't want to let him go because he thought a bad fate might also await him. I wonder if when they left, if that daddy might not have put on sackcloth and ashes and begin down and weep and humble himself before God. Oh God, would you bring my boys home again? Them boys, they also had a sack. It's different than sackcloth, but it was a sack to carry things. And every time they turned around, it was filled up with nourishment and full of treasure and full of provision. I want you to see something in Psalm 30, and I'm going to close. In Psalm 30, verse number 10. Some of you today, you're almost in sackcloth. You're so worried about it. Some of you today, you come carrying your sack in here, looking for something to take home with you. God's got blessings to fill your sack. And it ain't going to cost you a thing. In Psalm 30, verse number 10, he says, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." Boy, there's something about when you get to take that old sackcloth off and joy comes. And you can praise Him for the treasure that's in your sack. I want you to look around this morning. Seriously. Look around. God has filled His house with fine people to come in here and serve and worship Him. You could be in a place today where there's two people gathered and them two people's in a fight. But instead, God has allowed you to come into the house of God, which is a place of love. Look around. For that is treasure in my sack. You look at your family seated to your left, your right, front of you and behind you. You look and see how God's blessed you with family and how He's given you friends. But all those things might just be temporary. What He's filled your sack with is a silver cup of salvation. Some of you don't look like you got it. But if you've been saved, amen, you got it. You just need to open the sack up and look inside there, start counting your blessings, amen. You stand at your feet this morning. That's what God's laid on my heart. Y'all would come to the instruments, please, with all heads bowed, nobody looking. Might be somebody needs to step up this old-fashioned altar. Boy, you come in sackcloth. You've come toting old sack today. Boy, God, when you start to look at the cloth and the sack, boy, there's treasure in there. There's treasure in there. You ought to bow your knee to an almighty God and be never-ending thankful for the blessings of God upon you, upon your family, upon your friends, upon your situation. Preacher, it's been tough. Yeah, without His help, it'd be even tougher. He says, "Help me, and He'll be your helper." The only way, my friend, you're going to get through this is by bowing your knee to Him. Those brothers, when they got in trouble, they yielded their knee to their brother Joseph. Joseph is a type of Christ. He is our brother. God is our Father, if you've been saved. Now, brother Jesus has blessed us beyond measure. And it is my greatest honor today to bow my knee, yield my heart, and thank Him for the treasure in my old burlap sack. I deserve to go to hell. I mean, my sack's this old body I live in. I deserve to go to hell. But He saved me. And I thank Him for that this morning. Father, as we this morning take time to reflect, Lord, we're thankful.
warm it up real good. Put treasure in it. Help us to see the blessings of God, the goodness of God, the salvation of God, the supplies of God. Whole times have been lean. Lord, we've not been hungry yet, though. Times have been concerned. But you supply all our needs. And truth of the day, Jesus is still all we need. Lord, I hope that today, God, you'd help us to see in our own personal lives there is treasure in the sack. There is a cup, a filling cup of glory that you've given us. Lord, we thank you today for your provision for the journey and for the promise you've given us of heaven. And when Jacob saw the wagons of provision and the wagons of prosperity and the wagons of purpose and the wagons of promise, when he saw those wagons from another country roll in, it revived his spirit. God, I pray today, Lord, get up in our eyes and help us to see the wagons, God, of supply that are lined up, God, outside our lives today. God, they're on the way, God. I pray our spirit to revive and say it's enough. For our Savior lives, I'm going to serve Him and be glad in my situation. Lord, we thank you for the valley that you allow us to be in this week. These favors we plead and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.